take our song sheets and sing number 126, Rock of Ages. And let's stand. Thank you for everyone who's able to make it to church tonight, and I thank you for the safety and getting here, and I pray for the message as Pastor Gosman brings to us today, and I pray that it'll reach everyone here, and pray for thank you for Isaac and for playing the piano, and I pray for the Howards as they're on their trip to Kansas, and I pray for safety going home tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
All right, it's good to be up here with Ben here leading and Isaac over there on the piano. I'll tell you, these little boys grew up, and a young man. it's good to, I trust you got a rest this afternoon. Did you rest this afternoon? And this is the Lord's Day, and it's a blessing to be able to set it aside. And we've had a great privilege in our country where that was really a tradition in our country and for many years. The world is setting that day aside and for themselves instead of to the Lord today. But it's the Lord wants us to take that time and use it for Him. I want to give you an opportunity for testimony and for something you'd like to share, and you know, to take any prayer requests. Of course, we want to be remembering Jim. Jim Eckert. He's got his surgery this week, and so we want to remember Jim and certainly the pastor and his family, found out that Sue here has got some cracked ribs from a fall she had. So if she sounds a little different when she talks, I could tell something wasn't quite right. That just like she's talking, it's like she doesn't want to expand her ribs too much. But I want to pray for Sue for a recovery and those healing. Those ribs take a while to heal sometimes like that when they do that. So. Is there other things you have in mind that we'd like us to pray for tonight? Yes, Bob. Yes, okay. Poyer. All right. Other things we can thank the Lord for the rain we got that helped to care for our plants and the ground that was getting dry and parched. And, did everybody get rain? We got an inch at our place. So you didn't get it. We did. We were. So maybe we. I'm not sure why we got it and you didn't, but so I guess pray for rain for those that need it for their crops. Okay, that's good. So anything else there, or any words of testimony, something thank to the Lord, or something you'd like to share, that just how some way the Lord has protected or blessed or done something this week. Anything? Yes, Ron.
I just was thankful that the Lord kept us safe on the trip down to Virginia and the trip back, and moving here on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And there was a guy down there that jumped in and helped Aaron and Jennifer. He's actually the pastor's son of the church that they went to many years ago. And he's in a broken relationship. He's divorced. He's got one child. And he's getting ready to go to Africa. And I would just say prayer for him and his family. But they're broken home. Anybody that has a broken home,
pray.
And his name is Chad.
Chad?
Yeah, Aaron's friend, Chad.
Okay. All right. Yeah, any else? Yes.
This isn't a testimony or a prayer request. It's just I'm listening to a book called The Logic of God, and he mentions in there that there are five gospels, and he says Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the Christian. And he said some people never read the first four, but they watch the Christian. And that really hit home with me. It really made me think, how am I living? What am I saying? What am I doing that is affecting the people around me?
Okay, amen. Amen. Good thought. Anybody else? Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, how we thank you that we can bring our petitions to you. Lord, we our confidence and our trust is in you. And tonight, Lord, as we're here together, Lord, you've said where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you're there in our midst. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we know that you want us to gather together. We know you want us to corporately bring our prayers to you, as well as in our personal and private times. And so, Lord, we thank you for this time. And we pray for Jim Eckert. And Lord, we pray that this time that he has been in pain and hurting, Lord, that you would use that for good in his life. And we thank you for sustaining him at this point. And we pray for him as he goes into this surgery, for your protections and for the success of that surgery. Lord, we again thank you for Pastor Howard and his family. Lord, we thank you for his dedication here to this ministry. We thank you, Lord, for his labors in the Word and just the benefit that it's been to each of us as he has opened your word and preached. And we pray for them, for their safety, for their refreshment, and even we would pray for his vehicle, that that he was concerned that there was a problem that they weren't able to find. And so we just pray, Lord, that you might keep that running for him. And we, Lord, for this Jim Coyer that has found that he is has this cancer that is would appear to be destined to take his life, and we just ask you, Lord, to, for your hand to be upon him. And we know, Lord, that you can heal as you desire. We know that you can use these things in our life for good, Lord. Even as we know this life is short, and we pray that you might use this for Jim and his life. We pray for Sue and for the healing of her ribs, and then, Lord, how we thank you for the safety that you gave to Margraf's as they traveled to go out and to help Aaron and Jennifer in that move. And we thank you, Lord, for this one, this Aaron's friend, Chad, that was there to help. And we lift him up before thy throne and ask you, Lord, to watch over him. And we just ask for thy blessing upon him. And then for these unspoken requests. Lord, there's burdens upon our hearts sometimes that we as a congregation don't necessarily need to know, but we know there's a need, and we bring these before the Ron's and Bob's, and we know that, and Vaughn has continued to ask, Lord, for that, and others here in the congregation, as there's been various requests, and we know you've heard those requests, and you know where they are, and so we thank you for that. And then, Lord, how we pray that Becky has mentioned, that's an impressed upon her the need of our testimony, Lord, that we would exhibit day by day before those that we meet. And Lord, how we pray that we might be good ambassadors for you, because we do represent you. And you've called us that we're ambassadors for you. And so, Lord, we pray that you might help each of us in our lives. And then, Lord, we pray for your bringing other folks here that would have a hungry heart, and that those that would desire for the teaching of your word. We thank you for this couple of ladies that came this morning, and they seemed appreciative of our service, and we pray that you might bring them back according to your will. And Lord, we pray for others, Lord. So Lord, we bring these things before you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay.
For our next hymn, we'll sing 354, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And let's stand for hymn 354.
Thank you.
Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians and chapter 2. We looked at a passage this morning at the end of the message where we dealt with that hope that we have in the Lord, the confidence that we have in our Lord, that in the rapture of the church. And what a blessed time we look forward to in that. And when we come to, when Paul, in writing the book of 2 Thessalonians, it was a little different than that in the 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, as we read there in that fourth chapter, he was there comforting the saints because Christ had not returned to receive them, and they had some of their brethren, sisters that had died, and they were concerned about that, and so the Lord let them. Had them to know what the next event would be, and how that the dead would be raised, the brothers in Christ would be raised, how they would be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and that's a great passage of scripture to share with those, and when we're at the gravesite. Of a loved one that was in Christ that has died, and what a blessing that is to be able to share that. We're very much a people of time, and present time, and it's easy for us to just think in the terms of right here of where we are and how we're and of our. Of our days, and sometimes we get things out of perspective, not recognizing how short this life is, and how long eternity is, and what a blessing it is. I was just as we recognize that the Lord uses trials and troubles and even our persecutions, He uses those oftentimes for good in the Christian's life to help us to grow to prepare us for eternity, as He wants to increase our faith and our trust in Him, and not in our own selves and in our own strength. That passage that I shared this morning about there from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where the Lord takes the weak things, He doesn't want us to be glorying in His presence. He wants us, if we glory, let us glory in the Lord, recognizing all that we have. Anything that we have of any value is that something the Lord has given, and the Lord has strengthened in, and the Lord has protected in. When we come to 2 Thessalonians, it appears from what they're saying here, there was a lot of false teaching that was going on. False teaching in regards to the day of the Lord. That it had already come, and Paul writes here to straighten out what has been the false things that have been taught, and what is yet to come, and he wants to comfort the hearts of the believers here in 2 Thessalonians. Sometimes ones have thought there must be contradiction between the passage that we read this morning and come to 2 Thessalonians and the passage here, because what he talks about the day of the Lord here is a is different than what we read about the rapture this morning. So let's go to 2 Thessalonians and chapter 2, and I'm just going to read through that, and then come back and see it. It says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit or by word, nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until it be taken out of the way. Until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, a lie, that they might all be damned and who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work." What a passage of Scripture. Scripture that defines things that we have not yet seen. But as we come here, first of all, in the first couple verses, we see here the Christians are in troubling times. He says, "We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." He's going to talk to them about the coming of Christ and about our gathering together unto him. There again, he's talking about the coming of the Lord. He's talking about when as believers we are gathered together. But he says, don't be troubled. Don't be troubled by the false prophecy or reports that are coming. He says, don't be soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. And as you saw, as we read through that, the day that he is talking about there is, and we'll look at that, is a day of a great deception, but they were beginning to be troubled. They were allowing the false teaching that was taking place was a concern to them, He says, neither by word of reports that were coming, and it would appear that they were telling him that the Lord had already come, and they were living in those in the days of trouble, and that they were concerned. In fact, it says, nor by letter as from us. It seems that someone had written a letter and attached Paul's name to it. They had heard, well, even Paul now is telling us this. So Paul is writing to say, hey, even if you hear something that was supposedly by us, he said, don't believe it. In our day, we have had various things that have come out where people had said, well, here is another piece of looks like it's biblical literature that we don't have in our Bibles, say, well, what? And you ask the question, what? What if we come across another letter of Paul's today? Signed, looked like it's authentic, according to Paul, and he's got some new revelation, some things that, wow, here he changed his mind. You know, sometimes we read about different ones that have took a stand on something, and then later on they backtrack on it, and they say, well, I don't believe that anymore. This is what I believe now. What do we do when we get that kind of material? What do we say to people? There's a couple passages of Scripture that I think are important there. One is in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, and this is something that as a young person, as I was questioning things settling things in my own understanding and faith, these two verses, Galatians 1, 8 and 9, were very instructive to me. And Paul is writing here. He says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Paul recognized he couldn't change his mind. I mean, he might change his mind, but what he had written there under the inspiration of the Scripture of God was settled. And even he had no right himself. Our Scripture was given by inspiration of God. It was the Holy Spirit that has given it to us, and no man has the right to change that. Verse 9 there says, as we said before, and so I say again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached, let him be accursed. I think that's an important passage of Scripture to help us to understand when we have the completed Word of God that's been given by the inspiration of Scripture. We talk about a testimony and even as Becky mentioned, the importance of our personal testimony. One of the things that's always a heartbreak, especially when you hear and you read of stories where there's been a pastor or one that you thought was a strong Christian that has preached the word and then they've gone off the deep end, and you just what a heartbreak that is, and that again is something. We recognize the frailty of men and how men can be deceived, and how our trust is not to be in an individual. Our trust is in the Lord. Our trust is in God's Word. Yes, God has used fallible men, but in giving his word, and he has protected his word so that we have it, and we have it in truth. And as Paul said here, he had no right himself to preach something else, because that was what he had from God. And then I think just those last verses in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 22, when he comes here, he says, verses 18 and 19, he says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." Those are pretty strong words that we see there. And what a blessed thing that we have, and we can have confidence that we have in our hands the completed scriptures that God desired for us to have. So those are some things that we see there, that as we see the kind of the introduction to this and the time that the Christians were in there, and then as we go to verse 3 and following there down through the 12th verse, is events that are given here to precede the day of the Lord. And so as we see this again, this is different than the rapture. This is a time in the coming of the Lord is not when the Lord comes to gather his saints to himself when we are caught up to be with him, but this is a time that there's another event that is taking place, and that Paul says this has not happened. He says, "Don't let anybody deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come," that is the coming of the Lord, as that's going to happen at the end of this time. He said, "Except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." There is coming a time when the man of sin, when the son of perdition, the one that is destined to perdition, they're destined to destruction, he is going to be revealed. We look at things and we say, boy, the devil was in that, you know. But there's not the revelation of him who he in a full revelation of Satan, but he. So this coming of the Lord is not going to be until he has been revealed of who he is. It says he's going to proclaim himself to be God. Even in the temple, it says, "Who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." And then Paul says, "Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things." So Paul had told them that this time was coming when this the man of sin would be revealed, and that he, before he's revealed who he is, he's going to set himself up that he is God, and he is to be worshipped. And you say, well, when is that going to be? Well, as we understand the scripture, as you're reading through the book of Revelation, this is the time during the tribulation period when we see these things. And as if we were going through the book of Revelation, we would, you know, we would see this where there is the temple is reconstructed and there is this setting up until we have the what they call the abomination of desolation, when finally he shows himself that he isn't the friend of the Jews, and that he is actually opposed, and when this abominable sacrifice is offered, and I believe this is what he's referring to here. This is what's going to happen. And so Paul is telling him here, this isn't in Revelation, this is here in Thessalonians, where he's talking about that this time of this particular day of the Lord that is going to be. This man is going to say he is God. That's been Satan's desire from the time, from the time that he was cast out of heaven when he exalted himself, and so the time is going to come here that men will see him exalting himself, and in the midst of that, we look down in verse 6. He says, "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." It appears that what he's talking about here, well, first of all, we see that God is restraining that from taking place at this time. Paul is letting them know God is not letting that happen for him to take the power that he's going to take and is revealed in this passage. God is not going to, but it says, "Now you know that what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time." He says, "Now the mystery of iniquity already works, but only he who now letteth restraineth will let, he'll restrain until he be taken out of the way." There's a lot of discussion about what that is. It seems to fit quite well when we know that in the rapture, that when the Christians are taken out, God sent the Holy Spirit, Jesus, before he left, he said, "Another will come like me, and he will be with you, and he'll be in you." And we have that Holy Spirit, which is, Steve mentioned that in our Sunday school class this morning, which is the earnest of our inheritance, that down payment. But when the believers are taken out, is that the time, as the believers are taken out, the removal of the Holy Spirit, as far as that restraining? But at least this passage is letting us know that God is restraining and keeping him under control. You know, we make the statement, God is in control. And sometimes we make that statement in the midst of trouble, and it, sometimes it's taken that because God's in control, we don't have to take our responsibility because it's let God do it. Well, that's not what it's teaching, that we don't have the responsibility, and we take responsibility as we can, but we recognize that here in the midst of this, and even here, as the man of sin is revealed, and he begins to show himself, and he begins to take the position of God. People, they can say, "Well, I thought God was in control." He is in control, but this is what's going to happen, and God is restraining Satan from doing what his plans and purposes are. He only lets Satan go so far. Remember, even with Job, God allowed Job to to be, everything could be taken from him, and finally even his health, but God was in control. God said, but you can't touch his life. And so we recognize that, yes, God is in control. God is never, things are never out of control for God. He knows what is going to be. But that certainly there in verse 7, that seems to fit quite well. When he is taken out of the way, and it would appear that he's speaking here of the Holy Spirit, whatever's restraining Satan, when he's taken out of the way, it says, then, verse 8, then shall that wicked be revealed. He'll be revealed to who he is, and when he is fully revealed there, and it goes on and talks more about what he'll do, but what is his, what's going to happen with him? He'll be consumed with the spirit, the Lord shall consume him with the spirit of his mouth, with the breath of his mouth, even as God just spoke a word, and we had creation and all that we have, with the breath of his mouth, Satan, who will be here portrayed in all of his power, and this goes on and speaks about it some, as he's portrayed in all of his power, just with the breath of the Lord's mouth, he'll be consumed. He has no chance. but it goes on, and it says he'll be consumed with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. We read more of that in the book of Revelation when we come to the end of that. End of the tribulation period and the judgments of God, and then when Christ comes, and this is when Christ comes back to the earth, and so at the end of the tribulation period, we see that happening with when he comes with the brightness of his coming, and what a glorious sight that is going to be, but it goes on in verse 9 and. And it speaks there, it says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all signs, all power and lying wonders, Satan is going to, there's going to be such a power that he's going to be shown with great power. And he's going to have great lying wonders, things that are going to take place. If you go and just briefly look at Revelation chapter 13, and where it speaks of the wonders that are going to take place. It says, he exerciseth all power of the first beast before him. He causeth the earth and them which, this is verse 12, wherein is to worship the first, whose deadly wound was healed. He doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth at the sight of men. He deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the power to womb. There's going to be great power that is going to be shown that is going to deceive people. And it goes on and it says here in verse 10 of where we are in Thessalonians, it's with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And so here we're going to be at a time when there are those there that have refused the truth of God, and they are going to be deceived because of all these. Satan's going to look like, hey, he must be God. Look at what he's able to do. You know, I mean, people will be deceived that he really is God. I mean, with all that he's doing, obviously he must be. It is with great deceivableness. There's going to be a tremendous, you know, we talk about deceit today. People are deceived today. I mean, you see the things that are going on. We see the rejection of the truth that we see here today. It's nothing like is going to be in that day. It says, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. They're going to be deceived because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. We live in the day of grace, the opportunities to be saved. But there are those that reject it. We see that stronger than I've ever seen it in our country. People hate Christians. I mean, you know, I always thought that was back in the day. You read back in the persecutions and you read books like Fox's Book of Martyrs and back through church history and things that Christians have been in. Well, that was another day. But it's like it's in our day. It's coming, and we see that hatred that comes because people, they have no love of the truth. Truth that they might be saved. And then it's interesting in verses 10 and 11, it says, for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie. So you got Satan deceiving them with all of his lying wonders. And then God sends a strong delusion that they should believe the lie. And they're going to be damned who believe not the truth, but had the pleasure in unrighteousness. You know, there are those that say, well, I'm going to wait and see what happens. I'll trust the Lord later. Here it's letting us know that there's going to be such a deception. Deception by Satan, they'll be deceived, and even that God will send a delusion that they won't believe the truth anymore. What a sad time. But I think there, don't think that you will have a second chance. When people try to tell you, I'll get another chance. I remember hearing a story about a preacher at a funeral. The man was laying there in the coffin, and he said this man said when he got everything straightened out that when he got all straightened out, he'd come to church. He said, well, he got all straightened out. He's here. But it was too late as far as anything that would go on. Now, will there be people saved during the tribulation period? When I read the book of Romans, I see that that's a time the Jews are going to be deceived until the time of they're in the middle of tribulation when that false sacrifice is made and they'll recognize that it's. That this isn't the Messiah, this isn't God, but it does talk about people being saved. I mean, it talks about them coming, and it is a time of the Jews turning to Christ during that time. But I read this, and I recognize, and I think those that have. And to put those things together, certainly those that have heard the truth here and rejected it. I'm not saying that none other beside the Jews. I I don't know all the what the Lord's going to do in that time, but and there are going to be those that are saved, but this is letting us know people will be deceived, and they'll be damned for eternity. Don't let people give you that argument. But then there's the believer's confidence that's here we have here in the end of this passage. What a blessing that is. When he says, "We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." They were being told that the Lord had already come. And Paul's letting them know, "Now look, I told you before, and here's what's going to happen. Here's a time that is going to be before the Lord comes." You know, they were all before that, of course, looking when Christ would come and set up his kingdom. Well, that doesn't happen until after the tribulation. But here, he says, he's just looking at them and says, "We can give thanks always to God for you. You're beloved of the Lord. God has chosen you through, that you would be sanctified by the Spirit and that through the belief of the truth, that you believe the truth. He's called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brother, because of what you have, brother, because of what you have in Christ, yeah, you're going through a hard time. There's persecutions, there's problems. They were going through persecutions. But he says, now, brethren, because of these things, stand fast. Stand fast. Hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by this epistle. Don't believe the false teaching. Don't let people deceive you. Just because somebody signed my name to the bottom of a letter that seemed to teach something different, he says, don't believe it. You've been given the truth, so hold fast to it. Stand fast. Hold those things that you've been taught. And then may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts. He prays there at the end. May God, who's done all this for you and given you this everlasting consolation, May he comfort your hearts, and may he establish you in every good work. It's so easy in the midst of problems and trials and when things seem to fall apart. Things don't go the way we would like to go. People being pulled away and going following false doctrine, and that's what was happening here. He says, "Oh, your Lord loves you. He's chosen you. He's saved you. You have all these benefits." Steve was going through in our Sunday school class this morning the benefits that we have in Christ. What a blessed and glorious things that we have in Christ. So he says, may God comfort your hearts and may he establish you in every good work. So no matter what happens around us, no matter who runs off to some false teaching, even ones that maybe you had confidence in, I find so many people that you're talking to them and, well, this happened in our church and preacher did this or something out and they just give up. Paul is saying, no, don't do that. Stand fast. May God establish you in every good work. May God establish us. Help us to stand fast, no matter what. We have an eternity with our God. And he is going to come, as it said here in the middle of this, when he comes and destroys this man of sin with the power of his breath and the brightness of his coming. What a glorious day that will be. May the Lord use this passage of Scripture to encourage us to stand fast and to let us know that there's more that's going to happen after the believer is carried out in the rapture of the church. But when we talk about the day of the Lord, it isn't necessarily just one particular time, but there's events in the coming of our Lord. There is that coming in the air. There is that coming in his brightness, where, as I understand the scripture, we come with the Lord in that coming when he comes in his brightness at the end of the tribulation. But there's some things that aren't explained very much there. we just have to take what's there and believe what's there and be careful that we don't make too many assumptions in between. So let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. Lord, thank you for revealing to us the deception that is going to come, to recognize, Lord, that now's the day of grace. We have opportunity to witness. We have opportunity to represent you. And Lord, to give people the gospel of Christ, Lord, because the day is coming when they'll be deceived and they'll have no opportunity. Lord, help us to take our part in this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The last hymn we have here is The Solid Rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Let's we'll sing that. Let's stand together and sing that.